Gerald. We are here. How are you?
I am ready.
You ready for the science curse-off?
It's my first time, but I think I am.
I think you do well. You have quite a reading to follow from your last one. You have a fan base that expects something out of you.
Well, I'm hoping the sophomore jinx isn't going to torpedo me here.
Don't get torpedoed.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I think you're all set. You are.
Okay, we ready to roll?
Yes.
Here we go, chapter 13 of Cosmic Vomit by Don Cheney. Why don't you talk to me, Nadia Komenich? I asked Alex. Because you and your army of gargantuan snails are always showing off your fangs. Because approximately every other time I see you, you seem testosteronal, Alex said as he cooked a tater tot sandwich over an open flame. Because I'm afraid that whatever you have, it's contagious. It's as simple as adding two and two. I added them up, but all I got was lamb's wool. How much? I prayed to Gunther Grass. How much is that, Alex? I didn't know how much it was, other than that it was more than two. But what did Alex know? And when did he start knowing? And where the freaking hell were my goddamn fangs? Two and two, Alex murmured. And fuck me if he doesn't come up with three. Two plus two! Let's go, Alex, I thought. Come on. 2 plus 2 is 22. Surely he knows that. Come on, dumbass. 2 plus 2, I repeated. Alex seemed a bit intimidated. I don't remember. I should say, I don't fucking remember. Because this is the science curse box. Somebody shoot him. It's not the preoccupation of France, my friend. And it has nothing to do with world peace. Alex wouldn't know a Contra if it shot him in the head and then skull-fucked him. The fangs I didn't have were probably turning over in the grave at the missed opportunity to bite this dork sandwich. When it was time to pass out drunk, my mom and dad were always first in the auditorium. We want to be good sports, darling, Mom told me, and we always want to be the first to start cursing. Being intent on cursing didn't mean that my parents had the most acerbic wit, but it did mean that they had upper respiratory problems. Be a good sport too, my son, Dad said in a bad imitation of Doggy Daddy doing Durani. Thanks a lot, Dad, I said. Thanks a lot. This visit to the auditorium was etched in my brain, right next to the assassination of President Kennedy and Martin Luther King. It was like a gigantic etch-a-sketch. Let's go, Alex annoyed me. This is about as much fun as cow juggling. I know what you mean by that, frog brain, Mom said. I saluted Mom and Dad and slapped Alex upside the back of his head. Sappho slapped my ass and then slugged me in the stomach so hard I couldn't breathe. Pardon my right jab, she told me, moving her hand to cover her labia, which was emitting a sound of its own. That made Jeff a little nervous. Alex and I weren't going to be able to sit for a week. I looked at Melanie and Tanya. They weren't particularly nervous. They were absolutely nervous. Melanie was now housed in an enormous globe of chiclets. And Tanya was aiming to chew on her when she wasn't looking. Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi was making a scene just at that moment as he crashed into Melanie's globe. He crashed right before he was about to make a pit stop in an attempt to get away from all the chiclets that were surrounding him. Fuck all of you who've come to the first science curse-off of the year! Yay! Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi announced. I especially want to thank the students, the teachers, the friends and families who are here today, as if anyone else would come to this godforsaken excuse for a piece of shit. And I just want to remind you that when I curse at the contestants, I'm actually being nice. All that matters today is that you win. And not that I call you a gutless, spineless, gonadless, dumb motherfucker. If only George W. could hear Mr. Fittipaldi. Hear the passion and courage in his voice when he tells someone that they are crap-eating, chicken-shitting, candy-ass. Let's start, penis heads, Mr. Fittipaldi said. Remember that when we ask a question, a piece of equipment might fall on you. The size and weight of the equipment has been predetermined. God help all of you. Mostly it was amplifiers that they dropped on people, but sometimes sacks of disemboweled fish tacos. Let's start with some heavy equipment. I mean questions, Fittipaldi announced. Big fucking shit. I'm not even going to respond if they ask me a question.
As much as I like to talk shit, I think I'll have to take the rest of the day off, Mr. Fittipaldi said. Does anyone know what the initials SMF stand for? And it's not a single transsexual. Jeff looked at Sappho, but neither of them were stupid enough to answer. Great. Wake me up when somebody responds, Mr. Fittipaldi said, raining sarcasm. Why doesn't someone just drop a piano on these pipsqueaks, Sappho and Jeff? Is Fittipaldi serious when he talks decapitation? Or is he just jerking us around? SMF? Sappho asked. I'd be a fucked up auto mechanic if I didn't let you respond, asswipe. I mean, Jeff. No, Jeff was so sure. You respond. You're always running off at the mouth like David Huntley or something. Show us what asshole you are. Sappho shook her head. This isn't anal retention surgery, just a guess at the answer. A renegade to the end, Jeff pushed his own face into pie. SMF, Jeff murmured. It's not that fucking difficult. You two sure pissed me the fuck off, Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi said. I'm sure you have quite weak and similar genetic histories. Jeff looked up after that one. My DNA is actually SNA. Oh, Christ, no. I heard that if you have SNA, you'll get genetically parted out after you die. Why didn't I leave my fangs at school? Why? Jeff's brain was turning into gelatin right before my eyes, and all I had was a cup. I don't remember, Jeff finally said. Mr. Fittipaldi turned to Melanie and Tanya. What kind of equipment should we drop on you two, he asked. That was the kind of question you never want to hear. And neither of them had the mental prowess to answer approximately. Hell, they might not even know it's a question. I thought that, but I didn't tear them limb from limb. Melanie knew that she didn't have a chickless chance on a playground if any equipment got tossed her way. Can I call a timeout? She asked, trying to mask her nervousness with a dumbass question. I looked at my parents for the first time today. Dad was eating a sandwich of pig entrails. I looked again, and he was pointing at the equipment, probably thinking what I was thinking. How about something red? Mr. Fittipaldi asked. His voice seemed like he was preoccupied with talking bad words. I looked at Alex and realized suddenly that she was a she. She was mumbling SMF over and over and shaking her head like she was in some kind of lunatic trance. We're waiting for one of you to strategically shave monkeys to answer, Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi said, channeling Blackadder. Even though I knew I was in a public place, I was still paranoid that Eric would slice me up with a paring knife. I wouldn't mind if I couldn't see because he'd cut my eyes out because I didn't like looking at my parents anyway. Besides, now that TV was closed captioned, I didn't need to see anyway. All right, quiz kids. And for your information, the last answer was stupid motherfuckers. Let's ask a different scientific investigatory, oh, fuck it. Let's just drop shit on these motherfuckers. Someone throw this guy a sack of tacos. Okay. This time we're fucking dropping shit, Mr. Fittipaldi announced. What do I mean when I say lick me? I know this one, Alex said, pulling her face out of pie. I wondered where my fangs were, and then I wondered if I knew Alex's gender, and then I got paranoid about Eric again. All right then, little Alex, Mr. Fittipaldi explained. What do I mean when I say lick me? There was an ominous silence as Alex turned and spat towards the lectern. Alex, the animated Mr. Fittipaldi said. Look, lizard face, just give me a fucking minute, she replied, then threatened to kill him, using only her right index finger. I could hear the audience mumbling, and I could see the steam rising from the tops of their collective heads. And Alex looked just like the punk ass she was. It means what I say. You suck! You suck! You... You fucked that opportunity, little Alex, Mr. Fittipaldi said. The science curse off makes you nervous, eh? Well, very well. Do you two want some blue equipment dropped on you, or do you want to answer the question? Jeff was asleep, but not Sappho. Pinch me and repeat the question, Sappho sighed. Mr. Fittipaldi was suspect. What do I mean when I say, lick me, he repeated. Sappho took off her hat and fanned herself with it, because her head had become too hot. You say, lick me, when you have money in your hand and lust in your gastrointestinal tract, Sappho said, her voice a bit gritty. Incorrect, Mr. Fittipaldi said quickly. Shit heel says, what? Sappho asked. What? Mr. Fittipaldi said, without realizing that he didn't believe what he couldn't hear. Fuck you, pussy, Sappho insisted. My dad is an oncologist, and he can give you cancer. The answer was correct. And I'm an economist, a fucking economist, someone in the audience, fond of humiliation, screamed. Is that you, Dad? Sappho said. I thought you were a... Sappho? Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi interrupted. Shut the fuck up, please. Lick me does not mean tell me how wrong I am. Mr. Fittipaldi turned to threaten Tanya and Melanie. Girls, he asked, who knows how to curse? Melanie got so agitated, her pulse rose above her head and started moaning. Lick me, isn't that your name after you've had 10, 12 drinks, lost your memory, your car keys, and your will to live? No. And fuck you too, Mr. Fittipaldi said. He said it. And then he started dancing in front of Melanie. Not even remotely close! Second question. Now don't piss me off. In what year did Louis Pasteur do a naked poodle dance like the closed version I just demonstrated? Who? Tanya said. Huh? Melanie said. Red? Equipment? A sack of potatoes flew by Mr. Fittipaldi's head and landed in the laps of a mean streak of people, including Alex and the other contestants. Alex shook her head. She was either going to pass out or her dorsal fin was going to dislodge and pour into her eyes. Well, it was better than seeing her nude. That gave me a stomachache. Was Alex and loving it? No. She never and loving it did. I'm just a fucking dandy to y'all, aren't I? Alex exclaimed. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't even want to be at this fucking science curse-off. Fuck every bastard. What are you? Fuck Jeff, too, Sappho interrupted as the curse-off finally kicked into gear. That fucking Peckerwood couldn't even pronounce SMF. He is an SMF. You tampon saleswoman. Fuck you, Jeff griped. In your technicolor dreams, Sappho spat. Not in my dreams, Jeff responded. And believe you me, your daddy ain't no oncologist. He is an oncologist, Sappho said. No, he is, Jeff grunted. You bastard, Mr. Fittipaldi intervened. It takes one to know one. I wasn't sure, but I thought that was Sappho. Melanie and Tanya weren't paying attention, and neither was Sappho and Jeff, and neither was Mr. Fittipaldi. Melanie was trying to hold back an enormous globe from crushing everyone, and Tanya was staring down the front of her t-shirt. At least I fucking know how much 2 and 2 is. That greaseball Alex said quickly, you want me to tell you? It's the woman your dad slept with last night, less 10. After he said that, there was no doubt. I was going to set her TV on fire. I passed the hot sauce and tried to proposition her. Excuse me, Alex. I sure had nothing, if not grit. It's not your fault that you're a jackass. It's... Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi grabbed my throat. One of your teachers should have done this for Alex, he told me. Shut the fucking hell up! Shut. We're going to try to ask another question, Mr. Emerson said, his voice trembling. If you miss this one, we're dropping the blue equipment. Who described the Earth as a poor man's sun, with a tourniquet tied around it? The sun. That reminded me of something. Oh, yeah. Breakfast. Michelle was always asking me questions while I was trying to eat. Sappho? Jeff? Do you know who said such utter bullcrap? I don't want any equipment falling on me, Jeff salted. Great. You don't want any equipment falling on you. Then we have something in common. I don't want you all over my equipment. You bastards, Mr. Fittipaldi said. I closed my eyes, probably for good. You bastards, he said in a more suave tone. Are you going to respond
Or should we rain down green equipment on you?
Melanie raised her hand.
Yes, Melanie?
Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi said in a tone that was even more suave.
Can we do both? I think you've been chewing so many chiclets and trying to be so cool that you forgot your dual nature,
Melanie said. Everybody had expected it to rain. But what was incredible was that it was raining inside. Not only was it incredible, it was bogey five for the science curse-off course. No, we can't do both. We need more chiclets, Mr. Fittipaldi said firmly.
I could see his point. It was above his eyes, on top of his head.
Then I won't answer, Melanie replied. The sphincter says, what? Tanya lifted her head.
What?
Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi shook his head.
Do you know what you just said? You just said that you're a sphincter who walks on Earth only when you're too red from walking on the sun.
I looked out into the auditorium. My parents were looking up and praying.
I spat. And spat again.
At least I think I spat again. I looked at my fingers to count to seven. I wanted to count to eight, so I spat in my hands and tried again.
Was I spitting just like my dad does?
No. I was spitting like a ninja turtle.
Galileo! I exclaimed.
Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi was in full cardiac arrest by the time he heard that. The audience held back their applause, but Mom and Dad looked like they were on fire to applaud. I'd been a nutcase before, but now I was
cursing like a scientist.
Thank you, God.
That was good.
That was good.